Joan Esposito, live, local, and progressive.
Quite frankly, I get most of my news from you.
Joan Esposito.
Y'all ready for this?
On WCPT 820.
When Donald Trump was elected in 2016, those of us who had kind of, to some degree, been taking our democracy for granted, kind of stood up and took notice. We realized that we needed to organize, we needed to act, and we needed to get involved in the process. And boy, did we ever. There were so many groups that sprung up, many of them related to the Indivisible Guide that came out of Washington, D.C., which was based on what congressional aides had seen the Tea Party do and seen how a small number of people were able to be really influential. They put together the guide, and overnight, indivisible groups spread across the country like wildfire. You might think, now that Joe Biden's been elected president, that a lot of these groups would just be, you know, having parties, having coffee, taking it easy, getting ready for the holidays. But there is still work to be done. And many of these groups are still just as active as ever. Lenny Manah Hoppenworth is the leader of Indivisible IL-9. One of the most active groups in the state of Illinois. And she joins us now to talk about the work that is still going on. Hey, Lenny, how are you?
I'm really great. Thanks, Joan, for having me here.
Well, I get your emails, and I'm always just blown away by the way you guys are continuing to work, and on how many different fronts. It isn't even just political, though, of course, you guys are certainly keeping an eye on Georgia. But there is anti-racist work. You are really taking a very broad-based approach to the kinds of changes that a lot of people say they would like to see in this country. Talk to me about the meetings that you have each day and how they're focused.
Well, first of all, I wanted to add that, you know, Indivisible IL-9, which is a representation of a small group of us in the 9th Congressional District, represented by Jan Schakowsky, we're just one of many different groups in Chicago, in Illinois, and across the nation that have come together to work to advocate on progressive issues and also candidates and hold those elected representatives accountable when they do get into office. So we believe that Trump is just a symptom of what has been going on for decades now, which is that there has been an erosion of our democracy. We know that we all have a part to play, and that includes either voting, running for office, weighing in on the matters that really impact on us every day. But it takes all of us to do that. So I say that because you mentioned anti-racism work, of course, post-George Floyd. We say it in our mission statements that we want to be inclusive and promote equity and inclusion as much as possible. But truly, it wasn't until after George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery that all of these racial issues came to light into our organizing space in the midst of the pandemic, too. It's uncovered that and really accelerated our conversations. Like the volume on a radio has been turned up to 10. And so we're talking about all of these things at the same time as we were moving towards November 3rd, Election Day, which is something that I cannot believe, Joan, that we're already past it. I mean, 4 years has gone by really in a snap, and it's only because we've been working not only in our own individual groups, by growing our networks and working with advocacy groups and elected officials to work on these issues that are super important to us. We were very proud of the work that we did in November. We worked with candidates all across the state to get out the vote. Of course, in the middle of the pandemic, it was very hard to do that campaigning work, that really essential one-on-one time. You know, the really what we wanted to do was get on people's doorsteps and talk to people one-on-one. And we did that until, of course, we were on lockdown. We saw that with Marie Newman's campaign in her primary when she had to turn completely virtual in March. We're so excited that she is going to move on to D.C. and be a part of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. You know, her and also, of course, Lauren Underwood in the 14th District. We're so excited to have her back in D.C. along with Sean Casten. But those races were not easy to be won because we were not able to have those conversations with people. I think that what you're saying is so true. We have to work on everything at the same time. And that's what makes, I think, Indivisible unique in many ways, is that we are not a single issue group. And that's also the reason why it's so important for us to have these hyper-local groups very connected together with us so that we can move together in one direction. So Indivisible IL9 is a part of, I would say, a couple dozen groups in the Chicagoland area, but also across Illinois. We have many groups that are all the way down in Shawnee, Illinois, in Sauk Valley, which is in Dixon County. We are in Bloomington, and we are in Champaign-Urbana. We are in Rockford, and we are in Peoria, and we are connected every week. So probably every day of the week, an Indivisible group is getting together somewhere in Illinois or across the nation. For us in Indivisible IL9, it was really important to have these specific conversations on certain days, for instance, and a regular tempo to these conversations. So, for instance, we've been having an anti-racism work group every Sunday to talk about not only about the elections that are coming up, but how is it that we talk about these issues through an anti-racist lens. So this week, for instance, we picked apart the differences between Kelly Loeffler and Perdue, who are both running in the Georgia Senate runoffs right now against Warnock and Ossoff. And we did listen to the debate last night, and all of those dog whistles. I mean, we have to figure out not only how is it that we're going to work and win in Georgia, but bringing it back to our own neighborhoods. We talk about, for instance, about a mile away from me, I'm in Andersonville, and about a mile away from me is the Ravenswood neighborhood. And there is a black trans woman who has been standing out on the corner at Winnemac and Winchester every like 3 to 5 days a week for about a half a year now. And the other day, about 2 weeks ago, someone came across and tore the tent down, lit her signs on fire, and we said, what is going on here? This person is standing there basically saying, my life matters, and I am just standing here to say that and to show that to my neighbors. And why would somebody do that? Well, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to stand up for KJ, for instance. And so that's one of the things that we're doing locally to defend her, to defend her life, because her life matters, and to center her and to say that we are going to stand with her and make sure that she's safe in our neighborhood. So really, it's just about opening your eyes and looking around and seeing, looking things straight in the face and saying that is not right. And so we're standing out with her 3 times a week to make sure that she's safe and saying that her life matters. And that's at the hyper-local level. But statewide, we're having these conversations too. It's not enough to say that we're diverse, inclusive, and we're fighting for equity. We have to show it in our actions too. One way that we do that is we want to build collective power. So firstly, we always encourage people to find find your group, you know, find, even if the group is small, like you said, the Tea mm-hmm. Party, they were small groups and they held their representatives accountable. Well, we can do that too. It just takes a little bit of knowledge and power of who actually represents you in our community. So for instance, my representative is Jan Schakowsky. Of course, she's fantastic. We also have Kelly Cassidy, who's also a true champion in Springfield, and Heather Staines is also with us as well. So we want other people to know that too. You should find out who represents you in your congressional district and even hyperlocally at the ward level. So for instance, mm-hmm. my representative at the ward level is Alderman Harry Osterman. So that's another avenue that we work in. I am a co-leader of Indivisible IL Vote, and Indivisible IL 9 members are also a part of that group too. We help people become deputy voter registrars. And through this program, we've been able to train 470 deputy voter registrars across the city of Chicago and Cook County. So if you look at 50 wards across Chicago, we can say that Indivisible IL-9 and IL-Vote have covered two-thirds of the wards in Chicago, and we have representatives who can help you get registered to vote. So this is the kind of power that we're talking about.
You've got quite a schedule. We need to take a break, but one of the things I want to talk to you about, you mentioned having watched the debate between Reverend Raphael Warnock and Kelly Loeffler last night. I know that the next big election, the one that could control the Senate, is January 5th coming up. And I want to take a break, and then I want to talk to you about, I want to get your reaction to that debate and what, and I want you to tell us what people here in Illinois can do to effectively influence the election in Georgia. I'm talking with Lenny Minna-Hoppenwuth. She is with Indivisible IL-9. We're going to continue our talk right after this.
Joan Esposito, live, local, and progressive on WCPT 820.
Lenny Minna-Hoppenwuth is one of the engines that drives Indivisible IL-9, an organization. I'm on their email list, and I'm telling you, the work they do for social justice and to elect great candidates is just really amazing. Lenny, you mentioned that you watched the debate between Kelly Loeffler and Raphael Warnock. I have to ask, what did you think?
Oh, you know, I am going to be very truthful with you, Joan. I am worried. I'm very worried about the, she was absolutely a robot and just spoke absolutely the talking points. It was like somebody was holding a cue card. She said the same thing over and over and over again. I mean, I'm sure that all of your listeners already know who she is, that she is probably the most conservative senator in Congress, and she's probably one of the most wealthy, you know, even though
accounts, she is the wealthiest member of the Senate, and that's saying something.
Yeah, even though that she says that she, I mean, she said it over and over and over again, that she grew up on a farm and she is, you know, she's blessed to be living the American dream. I mean, she said that about, I think, 10 times. Did you listen to it? It was unbelievable. And, right? And she started her sentences each time by basically calling him names. And it was just unbelievable. But it's exactly, I think, within their playbook. So that is exactly what they are expected to do, is to say over and over the lies over and over and over again. And I think that's when people say Democrats need stronger messaging, is because of that kind of display of just a single-minded mission to other Warnock, to make him this terrible monster who's going to take away your freedoms, who is basically going to take away your safety, who's going to, you know, take away your job. And I think that she actually did a really good job of that. So I worry so much, not for you, Joan, not for me, not for people who are interested in these conversations, but I'm worried about those folks who are not interested in politics at all, right? But who are being compelled to vote because everybody is saying that this is a really major election and not keeping up with these conversations. I'm worried about the people who have to work every day and who don't have time to listen to podcasts or debates at night because they have to put their kids to bed, or they have to travel because they have to get to their second or third job because they have to make ends meet. Those are the people that I'm worried about, which is why I'm really excited that people are doing something right now. You know, they're writing postcards, they're writing letters, they're phone banking. Today is the last day to register to vote in Georgia. And so I'm inspired by Sunrise Movement, who's putting out the word, and those who are texting young people, making sure that they are registering to vote and checking their voter registration, because this is a runoff election. Can you imagine having to go through another election here? I can imagine that the voters in Georgia are just simply exhausted. The organizers are simply exhausted.
Lenny, there was a time when that kind of crazy rhetoric, I mean, I think at one point Donald Trump said that if Joe Biden got elected, there would be no more Christmas. I really believe he actually said that. And there was a time when I would have said, oh, that crazy rhetoric that came out of Kelly Loeffler, that, you know, Warnock is this like, is this crazy, crazy socialist who wants to tear down the government. I would have said nobody is stupid enough to believe those kinds of arguments. But I don't say that anymore, because I think that there are millions of people who just soak that stuff up.
Yeah. 70 million people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I just shake my head that it just I don't know whether it's people who just don't want to think critically, people who are just so mad that they've been abandoned by the system for so long that anybody who, you know, kind of gives the middle finger to regular organizations is okay with them. I don't know how somebody who is as rich as Kelly Loeffler and has done as little to earn it as Kelly Loeffler has, and who has obviously been guilty of insider trading. In a perfect world, somebody like that should be laughed out of the Senate and sent to jail. And instead, she's in the fight. I don't get it, Lenny.
Yeah, well, she was not elected. Let's just point that out. She was not elected by the people. And so that is what we need to continue to hammer on. Warnock is a person of the people who will represent the people. She is not. And so I think that we need to do a better job of pointing that out. I think that he's fantastic. He's a fantastic candidate. We need more people to know about him. I worry about the people who don't have access to broadband. You know, I worry about people who are on the margins, especially in rural Georgia. And that's the reason why I'm glad to hear, even though we are in the middle of a pandemic, people are taking it, and organizations from Georgia are organizing themselves so that they can talk to people one-on-one at the doorstep, social distance, with masks on, and to talk to people about why it matters for them to vote right now this year on January 5th, why it is important to register to vote today, and then to early vote, or vote by January 5th. So we need everybody to be pointing to Georgia right now, especially lifting up those groups. I mean, did you hear what she said? She said Warnock is working with Stacey Abrams. Yes, I said yes. She is really calling a whistle to her base. Like, what does the other side think of Stacey Abrams? I mean, Stacey Abrams is a champion for voter rights. I mean, her New Georgia Project is all about getting people registered to vote. How can you disparage registering people to vote? This is what I don't understand. That's why we need to be stronger. We need to be out there. We need to be better. We need to have more targeted conversations with people who, frankly, the Democratic Party has not traditionally continued to talk to throughout the year. It is not enough to get out the vote 3 days before an election. No, no, no. We cannot be in this position again. And there are still rumors going about that he's going to run, you know, in 4 years again. So we cannot have that. So getting out the vote has to start today and start now. And that looks like having conversations with your friends and family, even in progressive 9th district in Chicago. And because we're going to need everybody on board to help others to get registered to vote and to get out the vote.
Well, Lenny, I think you guys are doing amazing work, and anything that we at CPT can do to support you, please let us know, because we are happy to do so, because you guys are really an organization that others should strive to be like. I mean, the work you do and the way you have it organized, it's amazing. And thank you so much for taking a little bit of time today to talk with us about that. I'd love to touch base with you again in the near future.
Thank you so much, Joan. And if you have listeners who are interested in joining a group, please just, you know, Google your own neighborhood groups, block clubs, any kind of clubs in your neighborhood that brings you together. But if you're looking for an indivisible group, no matter where you are in the nation, go to indivisible.org/groups, indivisible.org/groups, and join a group today.
Thank you so much, Lenny. I appreciate it.